discovered, it must be told.
And it goes a little something like this.
This is a misdemeanor exclusive.
If your radio is experiencing any kind of difficulty, turn the volume up.
This is Rise Up Radio on WBAI 99.5 FM in New York, where the next generation of activists joins the Pacifica family. Every Friday at 11 a.m., the Free Radio Youth Collective brings you youth activism to the airwaves. I'm Saki, today's host. I'm holding it down with Slab, and you definitely want to turn the volume up, because today we have members of the New York Solidarity Movement for a Free Palestine delegation, and they're reporting back on their experience in the Israeli-occupied West Bank and Gaza Strip. We also have a pre-recorded piece by our own Slab, who conducted interviews as a member of the delegation. And in keeping with today's topic, we'll be bringing you tracks from Palestinian hip-hop artists. So stay tuned.
فرجوني لوين رح توصلوا انتو نامين حاجز كوتي عرب قوموا وقفوا طلبوا بحقوقوا قوموا اصحوا عالدنيا وفتحوا عقلكوا وعنيكوا علي بالزير خليكوا عندو طالبوا بحقكوا شوي شوي عم بتصير لانه هاي الحكومة بتطلعش علينا غير اذا بيشوفونا مفتحين منيح عينينا بدل ما يكون عنا ملاعب معقولة عم نلعب سلع الفنارة عم نلعب فطبول بالشولي والنواد اللي عنا دايما طفراني بلقوا معاها ميزانية كفوا لاشرة شبابيك وقفولي المدارس عين على المدارس تعز الشتا والسقا قاعدين بالصف والشبابيك زي القلط كوارث ولا المعلمين اللي فيها حرام بيشفقوا مع ان بعض كل اللي بقلبين بس بين كل مد ومدي بعضه مع انه مش بايدين علشان القبضه بتهمني ولا الشباب اللي زينا لما يطلعوا يسهروا دايما بيطلعوا عليا بنظره تاني زي اللي عاكلني من عالم تاني بيحرجونا بيذلونا بيفرجونا اشقر انهم بيكرهونا
ولما تروح تدور على شغل عشان تعيش بيطحوك برفضوك وبقولوا لك انك مش مناسب كل هاد عشان ايش وكل ما تروح محل ومش مهم لوين بطلبوا منك الهوية بالنسبة الي ما الها اهمية ليش ما نكونش زينا زين ليش بعناش مثل البشر عشان احنا مظلومين وسكتين وطيشين بالبحر مثل الفلين كفي لهون كفي عذاب احنا رح نضلنا هون رح نتحدى الكون لاننا عارف
This is Slab Rise Up Radio WBI 99.5 and Peace and Justice radio station. That was Palestinian rap group MWR. I wish I knew what it stood for. I'll tell you next week. But I'm about to play a piece for you that the CUNY delegation experienced in Palestine just a few weeks ago. And this piece is part one of a series that focuses on children. And
that's right. This summer, while President Bush spoke of the intended roadmap to peace, as New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg visited Israel on what he called a solidarity trip, and the corporate news media daily reported on the continuing Israeli-Palestinian conflict, a group of seven New Yorkers, mostly CUNY students, traveled to the Israeli-occupied territories.
I want to dedicate this piece to like the children of the United States of America because it is a message to them. So if you're an adult, you have like 30 seconds to go run and find a kid. If you're a kid cutting class, you need to listen to this and cut that class. This is for you guys.
We have heard that a half a million children have died. I mean, that's more children than died in Hiroshima. And I think this is a very hard choice, but the price, we think the price is worth it.
How old are you?
12.
12 years old?
Yeah, 12 years old.
What's it like growing up in Palestine?
It's not like growing up in another place. It's hard because you go to school a day and then Ramallah closed, so you have to stay at home, study at home, and you can't go out. So when you go to school, you have a hard time because of the Israelian. You'll be scared if the Israelian come, so Israelian soldier come and do something and close Ramallah. So it's so hard for us. And we're not going out like the children in America and in everywhere. We're small and big in the same time. In the same time, we know everything what's happening, and we're trying to do something to make the Israeli soldier get out from here, but we can't. We're not afraid from them because they are soldiers. We're afraid from them because of what they're carrying, of that things they have. Yeah, the guns and that things. Without that things, they will be afraid from us.
What is binding on both of us are the UN agreements and charters. I mean, you have this convention of the rights of the child, and you have the definition of who counts as a child. Anybody who is under 18 is a minor or a child. I mean, according, this is a UN definition. This is not our definition, and it's not up to the IDF officer. I mean, to define who is a child or not. This is not his function. Even according to the Israeli law itself, a child is anybody who is under the age of 18, according to the Israeli law. But when it comes to military governments, they make all of these distinctions. And it's not only when it comes to killings, when it comes also to arrest of children. Because you have hundreds of children who have been arrested lengthy periods of time. Children detained without trial and without charges.
And some of them are in jail. I know a small girl, smaller than me. They took her 6 months to jail.
How old is she?
She's, I think, 10 years old.
She's 10 years old and she's in prison for 6 months?
Yeah, because she tried to kill a soldier because he killed her father's friend. That made me feel so bad. She's 10 years old and they take her 6 months to jail, and they was so bad with her. They make her stay in the sun with for a long time, and in the cold for a long time with cut. They let her wear cut and short and stay in the cold. I know she has to be wearing jacket and something, but they let her to get sick, and that's so bad. And then when she get out, they tell her, you don't have to go to school, you have to stay at home. And if you want to go out, you have to go out with your parents, your dad only. If you don't go out with your dad, then we'll take you to jail again.
She was raped at the age of 14 or 15 years. We treated this girl, for example, for more than 4 years. And she didn't talk about her trauma. She used to see, and she saw more than 3 psychiatrists, several therapists, and she didn't talk about the. And she used to have family problems. She burned the house. Lately, she came to me and she said, I want to tell you private things, secret. I spent more than interview 2 hours. Finally, she told me that she was raped by an Israeli prison after 3 years of abuse. What we worry us really, not the immediate consequences of torture, what we worry us really, the remote consequences of torture might appear after many years of torture, come in form of the family problem and social problem.
This is Slab, Ramallah. And it seems like an invasion has just occurred There's kids throwing rocks, screaming, and there's rubber bullets being shot. And today's supposed to be the Festival of Martyrs all over Palestine. Walked past an injured kid. He's being taken care of. There's medics running all over the place. And there's kids throwing rocks. And New York delegation is like right there. So I'm walking towards it. Okay, everyone is running.
Hell no.
Okay, everyone just ran. Okay. I've never seen anything like this before. Okay, the medics are freaking brave, running right into the action when people are running the other way. Just to check out the injured. Separated from, like, my delegation. I'm holding this black microphone, which kind of looks like a gun from far away, so that's kind of scary. Huh? Where's NASA?
Got shot, dude.
NASA got shot?
He got shot.
He's in the ambulance?
Yeah.
Okay, let's get the delegation off. Nope. The people are running back to throw rocks. NASA's in the ambulance?
Yeah, he's in the ambulance.
Where's Fanella?
I don't know, dude.
Okay. Is she in the ambulance?
Which against me?
Huh?
From where are
you? New York City.
New York,
City.
New York. That's
friend?
My friend. Yeah. Yeah.
Where is anyone going with him?
So what?
To Ramallah Hospital.
Ramallah Hospital.
Can we go? NASA just got hit by, I think, a rubber bullet. Do you know how where he got hit in his body?
He got hit in the left side of his head, yo.
Is he conscious?
Now he's conscious. Like, I was right next to him, and then the chief drove on and shot him. And then he got
okay, this is Fanella, NASA. All right. Oh boy. He's conscious though, right? Okay, there's children throwing rocks. There's gunshots. People are not even sure where the gunshots are coming from. They seem to be rubber bullets. They sound like rubber bullets. Not that I'm an expert or anything, but sounds like rubber bullets. Oh man, Matthew's throwing rocks. Oh, I see those motherfuckers. Okay. Nice to see New Yorkers throw rocks along with the Palestinian people. How you speak English?
No.
Okay, don't worry about it. It's just running back and forth. Up and down the block to the corner to throw rocks.
Yeah, that's very dangerous to be around here, man.
Wow. Oh my lord. Those children are brave. These children are brave. Enticing the soldiers to throw bubble bullets at them. Palestinians are brave. I cannot imagine any American doing this against any armed military. By any means necessary. I don't know if you can hear the shots in the background, but there are shots.
You are listening to Rise Up Radio on WBAI 99.5 FM, and you are listening to live footage recorded by SLAB in the occupied territories, in the Israeli occupied territories. We'll be speaking with Nasser, who you heard in the sound earlier, was shot.
Okay, here comes the Jeep. And I'm running with people. Okay, the last of the last are running. Okay, I want to throw a rock, but I'm holding this damn microphone. People scream every time the Jeep rolls away. Isaac, people run. There's mothers with children who just want to get home. Don't want to get home from here. They have recently invaded Jenin. I think yesterday they hit Gaza pretty hard. Before that was Nablus. Hebron got hit really bad. Ramallah seemed to have been calm for the past couple of days. Actually, since I got here. And people have been saying that the invasion would have happened like in 5 days. And I guess it's starting today. People seem to be walking and taking the area. The rock throws, there are rocks all over the streets. Metal pipes, glass bottles. These people really want their freedom back. It's important for to relax New Yorkers to know parents encourage their children to resist. Because they know how important it is.
Their offices were raided and I think 4 people were arrested. It's the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine. It's a Leninist, Marxist, non-Islamic based resistance group.
And what happened to their office just now?
We just know that it was raided. They were preparing the materials for the demonstration this afternoon, the commemoration of Ali Mustafa's assassination.
So, who are you and why are you here?
My name is Christopher. I'm from Hunter College. I came here to Palestine to show. Yo, so much has happened right now. I just can't even say it.
What happened, brother?
I just came here to Palestine and to show solidarity as a Puerto Rican to see what they be doing over here when the U.S. be testing weapons in Puerto Rico, especially at Vieques.
How is the youth confronting the Israeli military?
Yo, by showing heart, man. They got heart, yo, like harder still.
But what are they doing?
Huh? Every time they got closer, yo, they would throw stones or whatever. They'll take concrete from the floor, break it in half, yo, and some pebbles and throw it at them to try to chase them away.
What happened to your comrade?
And I think he was like a few feet away from me. All I know is I just turn around and then I just see him get shot. I thought I hear like a bullet. It sounded like a rubber bullet. You know, he got shot like in the left side of his own skull. But he was all right, though, you know.
He's all right? Was he conscious? Was he talking?
He was conscious. I walked with him into the van, right, to the ambulance, and then they drove off. I was going to go with him, but he seemed all right. I never seen anything like this before. It's like, wow. I mean, you know, Puerto Rico's a colony, you know what I'm saying? But it's hidden. And, you know, it's disguised, yo. You know, with incentives and stuff like that to keep people pacified and happy. Over here, it's like so blatant, yo, with these checkpoints, you know what I'm saying, these soldiers acting stupid, you know, this whole occupation stuff can't last forever.
Okay.
The name's Eric Peters. I'm from the United States, from Chicago. I came here to Palestine to see another side of the occupation that we don't get to see back in the United States. We're in the Menara, that's like the center square here in Ramallah. The soldiers decided that they were going to come through town just to rile things up because there's a demonstration today to honor Abu Ali Mustafa's death when they assassinated him 2 years ago. So the police came through basically to, you know, put a stop to the demonstration. Of course, a series of rock throwing broke out. You know, the cops were, the military, the IDF, they were shooting the rubber bullets. They were also shooting live rounds because I have one in my pocket right here. They were also shooting tear gas. I got hit with that, but I'm all right now.
We was at the Popular Front office. We were there with girls and boys in my age and the youth. We were taking training for traditional dancing for the Abu Ali Mustafa, because it was his day when he died. It was that day. Then we heard that the soldiers coming. The guys and the youth ran away, and some children ran away too. I stayed there because I cannot escape, because when I was going to escape, the soldiers came and stopped in my way. So I stayed at the office. They was shouting in Arabic and they say, stay at the floor. So I stay at the floor with some girls. They were crying, all of them, because they were afraid, not from the soldier. They were afraid that the soldier will take the guys, all the guys. So that make us all cry. The soldier talk with the two girls. The two girls talk with them a lot of time to let us get out. We get out of the building, and we was with Abu Ali t-shirt. The t-shirt on a drawing Abu Ali. They was looking at us like we're so bad, and I was so afraid, not from the soldier. I swear, not from the soldier. I always see them.
You were scared that your friends were going to get away.
Yeah, that was so bad. Then we get out from the building. We try to get home, but the Israeli army jeeps, like 10 jeeps, were around us. So we stay until they go. When they gone, we all go in a march with the guys, because they didn't take all the youth. They took, I think, 5. We all go in a march. Like, everybody in the town was throwing stones on them. Yeah, and it was very nice. I was happy because everybody was trying to let that Jews get out and to kill them, and to let all the Israelis get out from our town. And they all get from them. They get and broke a lot of things. They broke a wall to get stones, I think. And when the Israelis got in the way, everybody followed them and threw stones at them. It was heavy from that.
And did any of your friends get arrested?
Not all of them. I think 5. But who I know one of them. And he's, I think, 15 years old. He's small. He's too small. I don't think that they had to took them. There's nothing. He doesn't do anything. He was just putting that shirt on him. That's why I think they took him.
You know, they would be here before kids went to school. They would be harassing the young kids going to school. They would be terrifying the girls. So a lot of girls were even too scared to leave their house to go to school. And they would call curfew during examination times when exams were being done. So, you know, the kids couldn't get to the exams. And then, like, 2 hours after, like, you know, the kind of exams, the time of the exams, they would lift the curfew.
The Israeli soldier came to my house a lot of times, and they came here to make us being afraid from them. Once I was sleeping, and he come and told me, get up. Someone from the soldiers come and told me, get up. I get up, and they let all the family, my grandmother, grandfather, and all my family stay in this room, staying in the salon, all of them. And they took my grandfather's house, stay there for one night, and they tell us, if you open the door, we'll kill you. So it was so hard for us.
I asked about 15 children. Give me 3 wishes. Most of them, 12 from 15, they talked about wishes of death. They want to die. They want to become a suicide bomber. No, the Israelis created a culture of violence. Created a culture of violence. You know, they converted everybody in suicide bomber, really. Any suicide bomber, really, it is unconscious mechanism. There is a story and there is a trauma. There is a story and there is a trauma.
What do you want, like, 12-year-olds and 13-year-olds in America to know?
I want them to know that we're not living like they're living. They can go out, they can do everything, but here we cannot. They can help us in some way. They can find some way to help us. No, and we're all friends. They don't have to hate us. Or I swear I love to talk with them and to be with them. The children there don't have to be like to live their life and doesn't think of anybody. They have to think that there's a children in their age like them have to study and things. They're now and killed, and some of them are in jail. I think that we have to love each other, not to hate each other, because we're all children. We all have the same feelings. Here, we're not taking our freedom. That's why we're different. But they're like us. We're the same. I want the children there to know that.
You're listening to Rise Up Radio on WBAI 99.5 FM in New York, streaming live on www.wbai.org. You just heard part one in a series that I'm working on to convey the experience of children in Palestine. There's a lot of stuff you can't see because it's just audio. For example, in Ramallah, it was like hundreds of kids. And not only that, it was the entire city of Ramallah, like, throwing stones at the Hummers and the armored vehicles. I think we're going to go into Saki now.
Yeah, we are live with 4 other members of the delegation. Slab was one of the delegation, one of the delegates representing the New York Solidarity Movement for a Free Palestine. And we're joined by the other 4. All of them are Hunter College students. Zara is a member of SLAM, the Student Liberation Action Movement. Nasser is also a member of SLAM. Chris is a member of the Hostas Puerto Rican Club at Hunter. And we also have... Are you okay? Fenella, who since the age of 13 has worked with a nonprofit organization seeking to eradicate domestic violence through public awareness. Welcome and thank you all for being here. The sound was very touching, listening to the voices and the people and the struggle that's going on in Palestine. Nasser, can you, because you actually were hit by one of the bullets, can you start and tell us what exactly was happening on that day?
Yes, hello, listeners. Well, the Ramallah siege was an unfortunate experience for me, unforgettable. Upon our arrival, the youth were hurling stones at the tanks in the center of the city. I then ran out with my camera to film what was happening, and I was subsequently signaled out because I had a camera. People were jumping into stores and hiding behind cars while Israeli shots riddled the air. Then an armored patrol car speeds towards a group of people around me and shot me in the head because I was filming. An 11-year-old boy grabbed my arm and pulled me to an ambulance a couple of blocks away. When I got to the hospital, I was greeted with the screams and moans of two kids who were also shot. The one beside me, who was 12, had a bullet lodged in the back of his neck. I couldn't bear to see them operating at him, so I've just lied in the bed with my eyes closed. At a certain moment of the hospital, I realized that there's no regard for life in Palestine. Soldiers do as they please, shoot indiscriminately, and hide behind metal tanks. This is state-sanctioned terrorism. If they believe that shooting a cameraman or a child for throwing a stone towards a tank is going to achieve peace, then they're crazy. I believe we are shot at because when they see an unbreakable will for resistance and the struggle for freedom, they get so angry, they shoot as they please. Now, if this isn't terrorism, then the word doesn't exist.
Now, sir, what was the gathering for that day that you all were going, what you all were going to?
They were parading for the resistance group and this leader who, it was the second year anniversary. I forget the name off the top of my head, but Abu Ali Mustafa. And they wanted just to break up the Palestinians don't have any rights at all, even the right to assemble and parade in their own cities. The tanks come and disperse the people immediately.
Okay, so you guys were supposed to be gathering with the Palestinians marching and a celebration anniversary for this person's death. And when the tanks come in, Zara, did you want to make any comments?
That same day, they also raided the office of the youth of the PFLP, Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine, and arrested 15 of the students, a lot of whom we had gotten the chance to speak with.
Okay. We're going to open up the lines for calls while we speak with our guests. Each one of them actually has a story that they want to share. For you who are listening, if you want to ask a question of our guest, the number is 212-209-2900. Again, it's 212-209-2900. Chris? And do you want to share with us?
Sure. I like to talk about the racism that I witnessed and I experienced myself personally. When we just got to Palestine from crossing from Jordan at the Allenby Bridge to patrol. As soon as I got off, me and two other comrades of mine, we were approached by plainclothes on Israeli security forces with a big like M16 machine gun, and he comes up to us and says, you come over here, and he's like, where you come from and stuff like that, and he's like, drop your bags. And like, we're looking at him like with amazement, because you know, we're right in front of a bus terminal and he wants us to drop our bags. So you know we're asking him, but why do you want us to drop your bag, what do we do? And he's like, just come with us. So we left our bags there. And then they brought us inside, and they sat me down, they interrogated me, and they asked me, what was my name, what am I doing there? And one of the things that I noticed over there is that anybody that's, I guess it's like, has like a tan or whatever, they assume that you're Arab. So as soon as they sat me down, they introduced themselves. The man started to speak to me in Arabic, and I'm telling him, I'm not Arab, I'm Puerto Rican. So he keeps on speaking to me in Arabic, and I'm getting a little pissed off because, I wasn't even in Palestine for like 5 minutes. A guy comes up to me with a machine gun, and then, is insisting on speaking to me in a language that I don't know, that I barely understand. And, so he stops speaking to me in Arabic, then he switches to Hebrew. So I'm like, look, if you're gonna speak to me in either English or Spanish. I'm Puerto Rican, So he's asking me questions like, what are you doing here? Why didn't you come here through Tel Aviv? There's terrorism going on and stuff like that. What do you do for a living? What school you go to? All these like stupid, ridiculous questions, and like they're very. One thing I notice about them is that they're very sarcastic, and they look directly straight into your eye to see if you're cracked, because the Israelis, you know, I'll give it to them. They're very good at interrogating, but I guess they didn't break me, you know.
So you all were interrogated upon arriving there that day?
Yes. Oh, this lasted for about 7 hours. Like, we arrived there about 10 a.m. and we didn't leave until about 5:30, you know. And it was, like, ridiculous. And we're like, you know, I just thought to myself, like, you know, I'm dealing with this for 7 hours, you know. Imagine people who deal with this every day of their lives, you know. While I'm sitting down watching, you know, for them to see if they'll take me, you know, if they're going to tell us, you know, we can't enter. You know, I see the way they're treating the Palestinians online. It looks like, I know I've never been to South Africa, but I've read on South Africa, and like, it was like pretty much the closest thing to it, you know? You know what I mean?
To apartheid you read about?
No, it was apartheid. Mm. It was, you know, and it was like very dehumanizing. And they're very indiscriminate. They don't care who you are. They'll treat a woman, child, you know? And it's just very unfortunate. And like, what it also gets to me the worst is when you see like these Ethiopian Jews. They're even worse than the European or Russian Jewish soldiers, because that's one thing I've noticed while traveling through the occupied territories. The Russian Jews and the Ethiopians, they do all the dirty work, you know. Like, I guess they, you know, since they have second or third class status in Israeli society, mm-hmm. they put them to do the dirty work. And like, you know, I got questioned, and I've been stopped a few times by soldiers, you know, and everywhere I went, they was like, you know, they kept speaking to me Arabic, you know. I guess because I have my, you know, my little beard or whatever, they thought I was Palestinian. And like every other time, they're like, you know, where's your passport and stuff like that. I'm like, look, you know, I'm not Palestinian.
Right. So just to back up for a little bit, we had announcements of that you all were going before you went. We spoke with you while you were there. Now we have you with us to talk about the experience that you had. But can you tell us what the New York Solidarity Movement for Free Palestine is, and what was the purpose of the trip?
Well, the New York Solidarity Movement for Free Palestine is an organization that funds people of color to go to Palestine and basically come back with stories and report backs to educate their respective communities, and that's exactly what we are doing right now.
Okay, Sarah, did you want to make any comments? Vanilla, can you tell us the story that you wanted to share with us today?
Sure. Palestinians are prisoners in and out of their own homes. The Israeli military enforces curfews with no warning. Now imagine you are a mother who is going out for the day to buy food for your family, since you found your cupboards are empty. But since the military has imposed the curfew, you can't leave because you'll be fired at with a gun if you leave. Now imagine you are a woman who has just gotten her period, but you can't even go out to get sanitary napkins to stay clean. It's humiliating, as many of us women could imagine. In Nablus, in August 2002, people had been under curfew for 60 days. In this period, curfew was only lifted for 52 hours. In other words, in almost 2 months, people were only allowed to leave their houses for 2 days. The Israelis would even cut off their water supply for days at a time. Imagine being in prison in your house, day after day, week after week, hour after hour. When curfews are lifted, Palestinians can leave their houses, but they can't go very far because the Israelis make it practically impossible for them to leave their city. It's like not being able to travel 20 minutes from downtown Manhattan to Brooklyn. Families have not seen each other for 10 years. Now imagine that the person you love lives an hour away from you. They live in Jerusalem and you live in Ramallah. But you can't live together because of the new law, the new Israeli law, restricting people to live with their spouses in their towns. The Israeli military restricts people from love. Now imagine you are a student. Your exam is tomorrow. And when you wake up and get ready to go to school to take your exam, your reality becomes a facade because the Israeli military has put a curfew on your city. You fail the exam. Then to infuriate you even more, 2 hours later, they lift that curfew. Repression is more intense in Palestine than we realize. I went last summer to document and gain a better understanding of life under the occupation. The media only presents one side of the story because of the large Ashkenazi lobby, the large European Jewish lobby here. Now, imagine being restricted from praying. In Jerusalem on Friday, men under the age of 45 are restricted from making the Juma prayer, which is the one prayer that Muslim men are obliged to make in the mosque. At the Al-Aqsa Mosque in Jerusalem, I witnessed the Israeli military viciously separating the fathers from their sons, and through all the commotion, all I could hear were the children crying in Arabic, "Yaba, Yaba, Father, Father," as the Israeli soldiers ripped the children from their father's hands. The Israelis are paranoid about the sight of the Palestinians being made public to the world. When you enter Israel, if you tell them you are going to the West Bank, you will be denied entry. It was made even more evident when the Israeli military shot at our delegation member for documenting the truth. There are some Israelis who care about the Palestinians, like recently the 27 pilots who refused to drop uranium on the Gaza Strip. However, you won't read about that in the New York Times like you did about the Palestinian man who opened fire on an Israeli man and a child in a settlement in Hebron, which occurred the same week as the Israeli pilots refusing to drop uranium on civilians did. The pilots said they would refuse to take part in further operations inside the occupied territories. They would refuse to assassinate more people. The Air Force uses helicopter rockets and F-16s to assassinate militants. Witnesses have described helicopters firing it a second time into a crowd of civilians who have gathered to help the wounded. The news is biased for not showing the world both sides. They have become responsible for the current day situation. We have to raise international awareness. That's why we went there, and hopefully we can help more people to go and see with their own eyes what is happening there.
That's right. We don't always get to see, or not even at all, what's going on in the occupied territories. From being over there and having lived here and then coming back, what was it that impacted you the most about what's missing from the media here?
The Palestinian side, we don't see what happens on the day-to-day basis for a Palestinian person. We only see what happens for the Israelis and how the Israelis are being targeted, but we don't see how the Palestinians are resisting occupation, keyword, resisting.
Resisting occupation. Zara, can you talk a little bit about the resisting? I also do want to take phone calls. If you are interested in calling and asking our guest a question, please call 212-209-2900. We have about 10 minutes left to the show, and we want to get those calls, but we also want to let Zara speak a little bit.
Fenella was speaking about how we don't get the other side. When we hear in the news about suicide bombings, we're horrified because suicide bombings take the lives of people that have nothing to do with the harshness that the Palestinians are facing because they kill civilians. But on our entire trip, we witnessed collective punishment by the Israeli military, which is equally horrid. And some examples of collective punishment, which is a human rights violation, are checkpoints, closures, sieges, curfews. When we arrived in Hebron, there was a curfew, but people were on the streets trying to have some normalcy. A few hours earlier, soldiers in two jeeps had come down the main street and shot indiscriminately, and two boys, 14 and 16, were shot in the legs and the back. An hour after we arrived, the jeeps came again, and it just seems like people's lives in Hebron are perpetually half open and half closed.
Okay, we're going to take a call, and we'll continue to speak with our guest. First caller, you're on the air. Thank you for calling.
Hi, are you going to present this video or inform the 100 college students about this? And if you're going to do that, when are you going to do it?
Okay, thanks. Does someone want to answer?
Yeah, people from our delegation chartered a club at Hunter College called Students for Justice in Palestine, which is actually a national campus network. And as soon as we have our first report back scheduled, we're going to be...
You know, actually, I'm in the process of editing the film that I received right now, which is about 10 hours. But as soon as I get the films edited, we'll see if WBAI could advertise our film screenings.
Yeah, no doubt. We definitely want to continue to bring the information that these students and the past people who have traveled to the delegation have. They're going to be working on presentations and doing report backs in different areas, and we will definitely bring you information on Rise Up Radio as we get that information. They've just come back, and they're trying to get their things together and plan that, but we want to take another call.
Hello?
Hello, hi. Thank
you. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
I want to thank you all for your bravery. You're outstanding. And I'd like to ask you to do one thing more. Get as many students as you can from different schools to do the same as you did. And maybe then the media will pick up what's really happening in Palestine.
Definitely. At the end of the show, we have a place where you can send contributions to fund future delegations.
Why don't you tell them now where they can... if you have the information.
People listening can support the next fact-finding delegation by sending contributions to the Muslim Women's Institute. In the memo, you write New York Solidarity Movement. It's the law office of Carl Franklin at 26 Court Street, Suite 2205, Brooklyn, New York, 11242.
Right, and the purpose of the New York Solidarity Movement is to do just this, to spread the education and knowledge of the Palestinian struggle here in New York City and nationally, so that people know. And this trip was just one of the projects that they have in order to attain that goal. We're going to take another call. Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This is Carol Taylor, the nation's first black flight attendant, and my heart goes out to you all. Also goes out to the young woman, the 13-year-old or so, or the teenager who was speaking about what she saw and saying that they are children like we have children here. And congratulations to you all. Young folk, I just want to express my solidarity with you, young freedom fighters. And I want to make the point that the Israeli wall builders and child killers who are just like the U.S. cops who are shooting black males in the back and killing them, killing our sons, and the U.S. Immigration Department jailing and deporting people of color. And I wanted to know if you all are... Will we see you tomorrow at the immigration, the Freedom Rally in Flushing Meadows?
Definitely.
Oh, definitely.
All right, you will see my sign. My sign will say, what color is an immigrant? And we have that solidarity. And the good old white boys in the White House, their worst nightmare, young folk, is for people of color, no matter what country, no matter what persuasion... forging a coalition. The time is now.
Thank you. Yesterday, Israel announced building 600 new homes in the three of the West Bank settlements. The New York Times reported it as a move that contradicts the current Middle East peace process. Zahra, or any of the guests, do you all want to talk about the peace process and what you've witnessed? How does that impact what you your opinion on the peace process?
Well, this goes again back to media bias, because we were taught that the ceasefire ended with the car bomb in Jerusalem, when in fact, and this comes from a report by the Military Liaison Office of the Palestinian Authority, between June 29th and August 21st, the time of the supposed ceasefire, the Israeli military was responsible for the following: shot and killed 19 Palestinians, wounded 568, among them 99 children, 15 of who suffered permanent handicap. 3,525 Palestinians were arrested, 41 houses destroyed, including two schools and eight security posts, 362 houses damaged, 4,789 dunams of land bulldozed, 130 stores burned, Palestinian areas bombed by shells and missiles 110 times, and machine gun fire 484 times. So what we learned about the ceasefire, there was no ceasefire. The Israeli military never offered a ceasefire. The Israeli government has no interest in promoting peace with the Palestinian people. If it did, the occupation would have ceased to exist.
And I just want to add that the one time when there was going to be peace, when there was a hope for peace, when they had a benevolent humanitarian leader, Yitzhak Rabin, an Israeli citizen, a law student, murdered him, telling the judge that they have to be cold-hearted.
You know, I just have to interrupt for a second. When we were in Palestine, our mayor Bloomberg also dropped a visit. Bloomberg, just like his radio's news coverage, has left out the Palestinian narrative from this conflict. He was quoted on his trip to Israel saying, when somebody has a gun to your head, you can't negotiate. You have to stand up and fight back, which is exactly what the Palestinians are doing. He also said Americans share common struggle with Israelis against terrorism following the attacks of 9/11. Now, when he says this, I feel disgusted when people manipulate 9/11 to fit their benefit. If anything, the Palestinians share with us this struggle because they're faced with ground zeros in every Palestinian city. Then the mayor had the audacity to state that Israel is the only country he can think of that has had to continually fight for its independence. Well, obviously, he needs to do more thinking about the Palestinian plight, because the Palestinians are the ones who have been struggling and fighting an illegal occupation condemned by every mind of consciousness in the world, the whole wide world. Well, Mike, if you really want to represent your constituents, you have four native New Yorkers right here.
That's right. And, like, just to give another example of, you know, if this government was interested in peace, a victim treated at a center for rehabilitation for torture victims lost his arm in an Israeli bomb attack, and he went to Saudi Arabia and got a prosthetic arm. And at the border crossing coming back home to Palestine, the Israeli officials confiscated his new limb. Is this not what terrorism looks like?
We're going to take one more call. You know, unfortunately, we're running out of time. Actually, Errol's telling me no, we can't take one. Oh, we have one more call. Hello?
Hey, what's up, y'all?
We're running out of time, so keep it brief.
I'll keep it short. This is Tyrone from Queens. I just want to say, you know, that I think, you know, as an African-American, to hear you come on and expose this kind of anti-Semitism and talk about Jewish lobbies and this and that, when the Jews have done so much for the African-American people and for our cause, and that now that they're in their time of need, when they're being attacked by terrorists, that we're not there for them. I think it's just disgusting. And I think if I was in the Israeli army, which of course I'm not eligible to be in the Israeli army, but if I was, and you were out there and you were helping terrorists, you wouldn't have to worry about rubber bullets.
It is precisely because we are against terrorism that we stand in solidarity with the Palestinian people, who are guaranteed the right by international law to resist occupation. The occupation is illegal.
That's right. Unfortunately, it's so much to cover in a short amount of time. We had sound, great sound from Slab. Slab wants to leave us with the last comment.
There's a class in Queens College called Politics and Terrorism. Go take that. Palestine desperately needs professionals. Like, seriously. If you're interested, like, if you're a doctor, if you're an engineer, computer technician, anything, email me, slabtzu@hushmail.com. That's slabtzu@hushmail.com, and I'll try to connect you with somebody.
And you've been listening to Rise Up Radio on WBAI. The show, as always, is a production of the Free Radio Youth Collective. Our engineer that we want to thank very much today is Errol. You can give us a call at 212-209-2948, or you can email us at riseupradio@wbai.org. The information that you might not have gotten a chance to write down will be on our website. You can always give us a call for more information, and check out our website at www.studentvoicesforpeace.org. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, okay. Again, contributions could be sent to the Muslim Women's Institute at 26 Court Street, Suite 2205, care of Carl Franklin at Brooklyn, New York, 11242.
I want to thank all our guests for sharing their experiences with us today. Peace.
And this is WBAI 99.5 FM, Peace and Justice Radio.